For those of you, we had a meeting with the insurance company this last week, and everything passed with flying colors, so I just want to tell you everybody how much I appreciate everybody's help in their volunteering to work, to clean, to fix. I just appreciate everybody, the way everybody's pitched in the last couple weeks, and I really do mean that. Thank you very much. And so I think, if I remember correctly, folks that were there for the meeting, I know five of you were there, but I think the building, I think, was assessed at over $2 million now. So that tells a lot about the upkeep, and, you know, when we got here, a lot of things were falling apart. So a lot has been done in the last 5 years. I just appreciate the folks that have been faithful in their giving. And I know we're supporting missionaries, and that's the number one focus that we ought to be doing with our giving, to get the gospel out. But the fact that we can take care of a building that we meet in and to have a good testimony, you know, with our neighbors in the community, I think sends a good signal to the rest of the people. So I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for your help and the encouragement that you've been, and your giving and your faithfulness. So I appreciate that. All right, Acts chapter number 20 and verse number 27. We're going to take one verse and read it. Acts chapter number 20, verse 27. I wish I could read more of this, but possibly tonight we'll read the other part. Acts 20, verse number 27. You have the King James Bible. We're going to read in unison together. Acts 20, verse 27. Shall we read, please? For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. And let's pray. Father, thank you again for loving us, for being a wonderful God. Thank you, Lord, for the word of God. Thank you for salvation. Thank you, Lord, dear Jesus, for dying on a cross for our sins. Lord, just thank you, thank you, thank you for the day the lady gave me a gospel tract and told me how to go to heaven. And thank you, Lord, she took a King James Bible and showed me that I was a sinner on my way to hell, Lord. And just, I want to thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for church. Thank you for an old-fashioned church. Thank you for the folks here that have been faithful. Now, dear God, please meet with us. Dear Holy Spirit of God, speak to our hearts. Lord, help us to believe the word of God this morning. And Lord, help us to apply it in our lives. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Acts chapter 20, verse 27, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. I'm going to talk to you this morning about this subject, a balanced diet, a balanced spiritual diet. Too many times, if you've been saved for any length of time, if you've been to other churches and you've grown up in other churches, you've moved around and either visited or spent time as members in other churches, you'll know that most churches, and I'm not saying this to be critical in any way, don't misunderstand, because it's obviously true in our church too, but most churches tend to emphasize only one thing. And too many times, if you're not careful, you'll be out of whack, out of balance sometimes, because you'll let some things that are needful go by the wayside. And so it's very important as a church and as an individual and as a family that you conduct yourselves and ourselves in a very balanced, measured way. And again, don't misunderstand, I don't try to be sacrilegious here today. I don't think you can ever overemphasize the Word of God, obviously, and that's where we're going to go to a lot this morning. And please, if you've been here for any length of time, you know what I believe about the King James Bible being the Word of God. But you can get to the point, ladies and gentlemen, where you don't use the Word of God that's given to you the way it was intended to be used. When I was in the Marine Corps, the M16, we were taught how to take it apart, and we took it apart and put it together blindfolded, to be honest with you. You had to know your weapon, amen? But a weapon wasn't made to be looked at. And a weapon was not made to hold in your hand. A weapon wasn't made to clean. A weapon's purpose is to shoot and to kill. Obviously, we had to keep it clean. Obviously, we had to hold it. Obviously, we have to know it inside and out. But if that's all we do with the weapon, then it's useless when it's not being used for the purpose for which it was intended to be used. God's given us the Bible, and too many times because we have blinders on, or because of our religious upbringing, or because of our background, all of us have these blinders on that we don't see things that are there to be seen. And a lot of times when we read the Bible, we almost pass over some things that are just as important as other things that stand out to us. And it's very, very important for the child of God to, when you read your Bible, you read all of it, and you ask the Holy Spirit to give you insight into all of it as much as you can possibly understand of it. Because there's so many verses and so many truths and so many principles that I understand that in this lifetime and only all eternity, we'll never understand it completely, but we should at the same time try to learn what we can about all of it. Not just the one area that we like, or even the two or three areas that we like, or the areas that we agree with. I dare say it's probably those areas that give us the toughest times that we have to spend more time with. I dare say it's the areas that we don't understand completely is the ones that you ought to read more and understand more, because if you don't understand those principles and those truths, you're going to be off balance. If you were here a few years ago, I preached on the sermon pretty much on the balance of a Christian life, and this is almost in line with that, although I don't have my notes or sermon with me, so I have no idea what I said in that one, but it's like an airplane. The best airplanes are the ones with the longest wingspans. The ones that ride more comfortably are the ones with the widest and the longest wingspan. You're not going to fly very long if you only have one wing on your plane. You're going to crash real quick. I don't care how big the motor is, how big the engines are. I don't care how many seats you can fill in there. If you're not balanced on both wings, and you stretch it out as far as you can possibly go. I think it was, what's that bird that can stay the longest in flight? I can't, what's that weird, not the vulture, the albatross. The albatross can stay longer in flight than any other bird. You know why? Because it's got the longest wingspan. And it just glides. You ever see a hawk or an eagle just glide in the air? They can glide, I think they said, for hours on end without flapping their wings. Just because of their wingspan, they catch the updrifts of the wind, and as the wind is blowing, they don't have to flap their wings. They just float like that. You ever see a hawk just swarm around like that? Or an eagle just fly like that? It just floats in the air. Your life could be a lot easier if you stretched out your wings and balanced your life according to the Word of God. Instead of being focused in just one area and say, well, this is my area and this is what I'm, and I'm not against that one area. Don't diminish that one area. Don't lessen that one area. But branch out and learn everything you possibly can about the whole counsel of God. The reason why most churches are so immature today is because they stay away from the hard teachings of the Word of God. They don't want to offend anybody. They don't want to, you know, scare people. They don't want to say, you know, I don't want to be criticized as being too, you know, Americans are funny. I'm sorry. Americans are rebellious. They say, well, God, give us revival, Lord. Give us revival. And so God sends a man who preaches hellfire and damnation. You say, man, that guy, whoa, what's wrong with him? He's got a problem. I mean, you don't know what you want. What we need is revival, but we need revival from the whole counsel of the Word of God. And so, the diet, the balanced diet, I mean, you just can't eat cornflakes for breakfast, lunch, and dinner and have a good nutritional diet. You just can't eat Spam morning, noon, and night and think that you're going to have good nutritional physical diet. Same thing is true spiritually. You just can't like one book in the Bible and just read that and just memorize that to the exclusion of all the other scriptures in the Bible. You're going to suffer. You're going to be anemic as a Christian, as a believer. Our church would be anemic if we didn't cover all the counsel of God. Now, I try, for the most part, I'm not saying I'm perfect in this, but I try, in the most part, to give a little bit of milk Sunday morning, meat Sunday night, and some meat Wednesday night whenever we have Bible studies and truths. Because I understand most people that come Sunday morning that don't come back Sunday night for whatever reason don't want as much meat as they ought to have, probably. So when I try to give a spiritual diet, when I try to give a message, and by the way, that's what a sermon is. It's like a breakfast, it's like a lunch, it's like a dinner. I'm supposed to feed the flock. That's one of the directions that a pastor has to its people. And a pastor should know his people enough to know what the people need or what they should be able to digest. So when we go through different sermons, if you think one sermon was too difficult, you know what? Did you ever bite into a piece of meat and just, it was like muscles or nerves in there, and say, boy, you couldn't chew through that? Just leave it to the side and pick it up about a year or two later and chew it again, amen? Don't throw out the whole dish or the whole week's servings or the whole year's servings because you bit into a piece of meat that was too tough for you to chew one time. That's kind of immature for you to do that. All right, if you want some milk, if you want some vegetables or fruit, good. Keep eating that stuff, amen? But a balanced diet requires that you have some meat also, ladies and gentlemen. You can get protein and some kind of meat, some kind of vitamins from meat that you can't get from the average fruit or vegetable. I'm not saying you ought to have meat all the time, but you ought to intersperse your diet with meat. Well, preaching and sermons and Bible reading and Bible study and a daily Christian life is the exact same way. You don't cut out some parts of the Bible like Thomas Jefferson did because you didn't like what God said and just leave in the parts that you like. That's kind of immature. You ought to read what God says in Revelation 22 about you cutting out some of the words what God said. You don't change the word of God. And that's why, you ever notice people that read a perversion like the NIV or a Revised Version or the New American Standard, you realize how immature they are? See how easily offended they are? You know why? Because the Bible says, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them in Psalm 119, verse 165. So if you love the Word of God, I said nothing will offend you. The reason people are offended or hurt, this will be good, is because they don't love the Word of God enough. And you haven't read and digested and devoured the Word of God. We've covered the last couple of weeks that the Word of God is water in Ephesians chapter number 5. We covered that the Word of God is milk in 1 Peter chapter number 2. Take your Bible, please, and turn with me to John chapter number 6. The Gospel of John chapter number 6. Now, I don't know your background. I don't know all of your backgrounds. But I can tell you this much. I didn't get saved until I was 21 years old. And I never stepped inside a Baptist church until I was 21. So this was all foreign to me. This was all new to me. And so, I had read, chapter 1 or chapter 2 of Matthew about maybe 20 or 30 times. That's about as far as I got, maybe, I may have read the first couple chapters of Genesis, maybe, and that's about as far as I went. You know how it goes. You start down and read the Bible, and you read one chapter, two chapters, and you got so-and-so begot so-and-so, and so-and-so begot. That can get pretty boring if you're not saved, amen? That gets pretty boring if you're not concerned about the very words of God, amen? If you're not concerned about souls, that's boring. So, you just close it up and just go on your merry way, amen? Well, there's a lot more to the Bible than the genealogies. There's a lot more in the Bible than just God is love. There's a lot more in the Bible than what you may think, the parts that you like and what you want to read. John chapter number 6 and verse number 24. Jesus is the bread of life, the Bible says. John chapter number 6, verse number 24. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because you see the miracle, not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Well, people 2,000 years ago are no different than people are today, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. So why do you have hot dog Sunday and ice cream Sunday and pickle Sunday? Because, you know, we want them to be good Baptists when they get saved. Amen. And the only way to be a good Baptist, you got to like food. Amen. And so we know that, you know, you offer people food like Jesus fed the multitude. Hey, Jesus fed 5,000, brought them together and gave them the gospel. Amen. Nothing wrong with that at all. But you got to realize they came for the food first. They got the gospel later. Amen. Jesus, being God, understands that principle. He knows that. He's God. He says, verse number 27, now he tells the people that came looking for him because they're concerned about their belly. He says, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. I mean, he makes it pretty simple, amen? Whether you believe that's a work or not, believing or not, all you got to do is believe in Jesus Christ to be your Savior, to save you from hell, amen? It's not as complicated as you think it is. You've got to get your pride out of the way, amen? You've got to get yourself out of the way and just let Jesus in. It's not complicated, ladies and gentlemen. Like the little boy said, he got picked up on the bus, got saved, went back home, and he's all ecstatic about being saved. I don't know how old the boy was. Telling his mom, I got saved, got Jesus in my heart. And the mom asked him, said, what'd you have to do to get saved? And the boy said this. He said, nothing, I just had to do the letting, amen. And that's all you had to do, just let Jesus in, amen. It's not that complicated. It's not that hard. But it is for rich people and proud people. It is for stubborn people. It is for rebellious people. Keep reading here. Verse number 30. They said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. If you just come to Jesus, he won't cast you out. That's a good promise, don't you think? So you don't have to worry about not being good enough. You don't have to worry about being too much of a sinner. You don't have to worry about being accepted or not. He says all you got to do is come to him and he won't cast you out. Verse number 38. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that all of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me. And everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath bread and hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Hey, have you taken of Jesus, ladies and gentlemen? Huh? Hey, this is where our Catholics depart because they believe in cannibalism. They believe that the bread that they eat is the physical body of Jesus Christ, and that the wine that they drink is the physical blood of Jesus. That's nothing more than cannibalism. I'm going to show you from the scripture this morning that your spiritual diet is the Word of God and Jesus. So the question I have this morning is this. Are you partaking of all of Jesus that's available? And are you partaking of all of the Word of God that is available? Or are you only feasting and are only eating that which you like only? Verse number 51. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews, therefore, strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. If you notice, that's John chapter number 6, verse number 66. 6, 6, 6. Now it's interesting that even the disciples at times were offended.